John chapter 6, verses 60 through 71. A little longer portion than we would normally read. Do a little Bible study this morning. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we read God's Word. And the Bible says in John chapter 6, in verse 60, many therefore of the disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What in it if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we look into your word, and I believe one of the greatest truths that is contained in this Bible, I hope that we would see it. I hope that it's our desire to be sold out to you, to do the hard work that can be involved at times in following you. But there is nothing with greater reward. There is no other better offer. There is no other place to go than to Jesus Christ. I hope that we would see that clearly and make up our minds that you are who we live for. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For the past few weeks when I have been preaching, we've been looking at the miracles of Jesus in the book of John. Depending on how you are counting, there are 8 miracles recorded in the book of John. And we have been going over some of those on Sunday night and, of course, some on Sunday morning. In John chapter 2, he turned water into wine. It illustrates the story that the best is yet to come. In John chapter 4, he told the story, or he showed the healing of the nobleman's son, which teaches us that difficulties in life can be removed. In John chapter 5, we have the healing at the pool of Bethesda, and he asked the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And it teaches us that our weaknesses can become strengths. Then we saw in John chapter 6 the feeding of the 5,000 in the first part of John chapter 6. And in the middle of John chapter 6, we saw Jesus walking on the water and obviously getting into the boat. And teaches us that the journey can only be completed with Christ. Now later in John chapter 6, there are no miracles recorded that we're going to be talking about this morning, but while our topic is not a miracle, I believe it is one of the most pivotal truths in the entire Word of God, and I could not leave John chapter 6 without talking about it this morning. And if you will, I hope you have your Bible opened. If you have a pew Bible there, it's on page 1122. And we're going to do a little Bible study of John chapter 6 in your pew Bible and a Schofield Reference Bible. John chapter 6 is in the very first part on the left-hand side, and it goes over to verse 62 on the right-hand side. So basically, we've got a lot that we can cover just on those 2 pages in my Bible and in our pew Bible. And so, if you will, I hope that's open in your lap, and I just want to highlight some things to you of what is going on in the book of John chapter 6. And obviously, you know, last week we talked about, or the last time I spoke, we talked about that Jesus had dismissed the crowd after he had fed the 5,000, and he told them to leave, and he sends the disciples off in a boat, and he says, go to the other side of the lake. And they get on, and they're rowing, and they're fighting, and a big storm comes up, and it's a horrible crisis, and they're scared, and trouble is coming, and all of these things, and Jesus stays behind, and he's praying. And then he walks out on the water, and he walks across the water, and he looks at them struggling in the boat, and they think it's a spirit, and they cry, ah, and they cry out. And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus says, come on over. And in the originals, he said, the water's warm. Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts walking on the water, and then he looks around at his circumstances, and he starts to sink. But it's a great story. And so, obviously, Jesus gets in the boat, and then immediately when Jesus gets in the boat, they are at their destination on the other side, which would have been another 5 miles, and bang, oh, they're there. So, having done all of that, the next day, the crowd's looking around, and they see Jesus there, and they see the disciples, and they know that Jesus didn't get in the boat with the disciples, and they're wondering how he got to the other side. And so in John chapter 6 and verse 25, he says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi or Master, when camest thou here? How'd you get here? You didn't get in the boat. And obviously, they couldn't figure, we know he walked on the water. He walked. But in verse 26, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for he hath God the Father sealed. You guys just want to come because you got a free lunch yesterday and you want a free lunch today. He didn't say, well, I walked on water to get here. He ignored their question. And he just pointed out to them, you guys are just a bunch of Klingons. You just want to come over here and get the free lunch. And I want you to know that that's not what it's all about. They wanted salvation, but they did not want transformation. Did you hear me? They were just there for the show. They did not want to change their life. Did you ever know someone that used to come to church and now they don't? Probably can't think of a soul, can you? Why is that? What happened? An author asked the question, why is there such a gap between the way Christ wants us to live and how we are living? Boy, isn't that the truth? They want their life to change, but they don't want to change their life. They want to hang out, but they don't want to hang on. When difficulty comes, they start looking for an easier road. I would just want to say, and I've said this before, and this isn't a revelation to this group, but it's a revelation to some people, that I want you to know when you come to Christ, there's a good chance things will get worse, not better. I know that doesn't sound, oh, that can't be. And I know there's a bunch of people on TV this morning that are making way more money than I am, that will tell you, boy, this is going to work so good, and this is where you need to go, and if you just do this, and the name it, claim it crowd, and the positive reinforcement crowd, and all of those things, it is just, you know what? When you choose Christ, you choose the battle. It's not easy, but it's worth it. They're out in the sea, and they're fighting, and they're struggling, and they're scared, and they're rowing, and they're doing what God said to do. Jesus said, go to the other side, and they are, but it's not. You know what? If they hadn't gone, they never would have experienced the struggle. Seems like that'd be easier. But I'll tell you what, there's no rewards on the couch. There's no rewards sitting there eating your Twinkies, having the time of your life. I found that only those that are out there doing something end up breaking things. You know, the guy that never made any mistakes never got in the battle. The armchair quarterbacks are a bunch of losers as far as I'm concerned. You're going to win and you're going to lose and you're going to lose and you're going to lose, but we're going to win. David Jeremiah said that the story of the Christian life is, you get up, you fall down, 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 you end up in heaven. Well, that's a pretty good deal. Or you can serve Satan. You can get up and fall down, 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 and end up in hell. I choose the first one. This isn't rocket science, folks, but this is the choices that we have. And so they're just hanging out looking for another fish sandwich, free lunch. When you start selling out to Christ, your life will not get easier. There's a chance it will get harder. I want to illustrate this. Ever go to the gym? I used to be a member. I've done this. Not Gold's Gym. Holiday Health and Racquetball Club. That was a while ago. They haven't been there forever. It's where the Gold's Gym is now, okay? I was in there, and I play racquetball and all these things, and I noticed that you go in there, you walk in, and you're going in to work out, but you know, at the old Holiday Health and Racquetball Club, I don't know if it's there now or not, there was a bar in there. Really? It's interesting to me. Folks didn't go to the, they went to the gym, they told everybody they're going to the gym, they got the sweatpants on, but they're bellied up to the bar. So what do they get to do? They get to go home, say they went to the gym. Well, that sounds impressive. They got the towel around their neck. They're sitting there drinking their adult beverage, and they're at the gym. Whoa, boy, that's really something. There are others down there, they're sweating, and they're pumping iron, and they're breaking down those blood vessels and all that stuff that happens to make your body beefier than it was. And I found that when you lift weights and you go to the gym and you do all the hard work, what used to be hard becomes easier. Now, I haven't done this for a long time, but I know it to be true. I also know that I do things, and I work for a small oil company, and we do things that some people think looks hard, but it's not to us. Because we see it every day. When I was young, Dad owned a service station. There's no such thing as rear drum brakes anymore. But if some of you guys that worked on cars the old days, there's all disc brakes. But the old days, there was four-wheel drum brakes. And so when you pull a hub on a set of drum brakes and you see all the springs and things in there, it just blew my mind. It says, I'll never be able to get this. That's nothing. That's nothing to me now. I've done thousands of them. Literally thousands of them. Some people that would look confusing to, it's not if you've done it. I'm saying all that to say we get better at what we engage in. We get things come easier after you've done it for a while. Sad to say, just like going to the gym, we don't have a bar that you can belly up to, but there are folks that come to church, they got the Bible, they got the look, but they are not engaged. I'm going to get ahead of myself. And no, I won't. But I'll tell you what. Not everyone that calls themselves Christian are living the Christian life. They're not doing the hard things. They want the look. They want the salvation, but they don't want the transformation. My Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifice. Say that with me. Sacrifice. Folks, a sacrifice is not fun. A sacrifice is something that hurts, something that you give up, something that has to die for it to happen. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your minds. And that's what needs to go on. And they didn't want that transformation. They just wanted to go around for the ride. And so in John chapter 6 and verse 28, then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Okay, you've confronted us. You're right. Yeah, we're looking for another picnic. Okay, what should we do then that we might do the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. Believe. Say that with me. Believe. What's the work of God? What's the first thing to do if you want to please God? You believe in Jesus Christ. That's step number one. And then he goes on and jump down with me to verse number 47. He starts talking about the bread of life. And they said, show us a sign. And they said, you know, there was a time where God sent manna, bread falling from heaven. You accuse us of just showing up for the picnic, Jesus, but there was a time where every day bread came down from God. He supplied. Show us a sign. And so in verse number 47, he says, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Obviously, he's talking about his crucifixion. Verse 52, "The Jews therefore strove among them, saying, how can this guy give us his flesh to eat?" And I will admit to you, that sounds very strange. But you and I know how the story goes. And obviously, they were very bothered by what they hear. And then down in verse number 61, "When Jesus knew in himself, his disciples murmured at this question, how can he eat his flesh?" What's that about? And Jesus asked the question, "Doth this offend you?" Say that with me. "Doth this offend you?" I'll tell you what, I found in America today, have we ever been more offended? Have we ever been more hypersensitive about you doing something that might hurt me? And I don't need to get over it. You need to change, is what America is saying today. And they're trying to take our rights from us. They're trying to take our freedoms from us in the name of whatever it is that just blows my mind. But I'll tell you what, when you come to Christ, it's not for your own rights. You give up your rights when you come to Christ. This idea of "I know my rights," Christians should not ever be saying those words. We gave up everything when we came to Christ. We gave it all away. It's Christ's right now to do what he wants with us. "Doth this offend you?" This is a saying that we had when we were kids. You don't hear it so much anymore. "A man convinced against his own will is unconvinced still." Ever hear that? I'll say that one more time. "A man convinced against his own will is unconvinced still." For instance, here's the deal. You come to me with an idea, and my thought is, I don't want to believe you. Evolution. Evolution is the law of the land. I believe that evolution can be disproved through the facts of creation. I believe that we have very good scientific evidence that supports the theory of creation better than the theory of evolution. I believe that there are very good people that state those arguments much better than I can, but I believe in the creation work of Genesis 1:1 and the 6 days of creation. It makes sense to me, and scientifically it can be backed up with some of the things that we know from the geologic record and all of the stuff we talk about. Having said that, you can take that argument and you can talk to someone that believes in the theory of evolution and they will not change their mind regardless of whether they tell you, you know what, I think that makes sense, but they're determined they won't. Does that make sense? So you can convince them against their own will for a few minutes. They'll agree that, yeah, you know, you could be right. But they'll walk away from there and say, no, I won't. I'm just not going to. Because there's too many ramifications about how this could affect my life if God truly created the earth. So therefore, a man convinced against his own will, okay, you've convinced me, but I'm not convinced, is unconvinced still. And that's what happens with salvation. You come to someone, you tell them, look, you are a sinner. You're not perfect. But Jesus Christ came, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Believe. And that not of yourselves, nothing you can do. It's a gift from God. God Almighty sent his Son as a gift to you. We celebrate that birth at Christmas. At Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing I can do, but he just agrees to give me that. All you have to do is give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. It's as simple as believing and receiving and confessing. Having said that, people will say, yeah, you know, I think that probably did happen. But recognizing the ramifications of the change that would take place in their life, they are not willing. A man convinced against his own will is unconvinced still. And so the question is, why bother? Why bother? Why would stand? Why would you get into the fight? Why would you go through what you go through? Gary just saying, him and I, we didn't compare notes. He just said, you know, I've been disgusted the last couple of weeks. I've been disgusted for the last 23 years. I have. That's how long I've been pastoring. What do you say? Well, and yeah. I got 5 minutes to complain. I'm going to do that, okay? Every now and then you just hear something, you think, really? Really? Is that what we believe? We're Christians. Is this how we're living? Is that what we're going to do? As another husband leaves a wife, as another kid gets into drugs, as whatever it is, you fill in the blank of someone that was here with us and they're gone and their feelings got hurt or whatever. Really? I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just saying, is it? We've all seen it. Am I wrong? Am I the only one that's ever seen something like that? I don't know about you, but I got a good deal in Christ. I love being a Christian. I love being a Christian. I ain't going anywhere. He's in my heart, Gary. It ain't happening. It ain't changing. You guys can all go do what you want to. I got to jump to the end because I'm out of time. Okay? I've got all these reasons why you'd want to be a Christian, and I can't fit them in 2 minutes. So here's the deal. Last part of this verse, of this chapter. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Say that with me. Will ye also go away? And I'll tell you what. There's been so many times you've heard me confess, I just want to throw in the towel. Ugh, forget it. Nobody's listening. Nobody's believing. I give up. Jeremiah said, I'm never speaking about it again. They won't listen. I give up. Jeremiah said it. I'm not the first guy to talk like this. There's no book of Stanley, but there's a book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, but there was a fire in my bones and I couldn't keep quiet. And I'm telling you, there's a fire in my bones for Jesus Christ. I'm not shutting up. I know you wish I would. But I'll tell you this. Where are you going to go? Who's got a better deal than eternal life? Who's got a better deal than forgiveness of sins? Who's got a better deal than a home in heaven? Who's got a better deal than a friend that'll stick closer than a brother? Who's got a better deal than, listen, no matter what, whenever you need me, I'll be there. You just call me. And I have said to people, you know, we want to be there for you, but the reality of it is there are many cases that you'll be hurting in life and we won't be there and you'll feel let down. God has never done that. Stan Griffin has. Anybody in this room has. Who's got a better deal than Jesus Christ? And I just want you to know that that question right there has sustained me through the lowest times of my life. That I, what Christ offers me, I just love it. It is so satisfying for me to know that he's there. And when you are hurting, he's there. And when you've lost a loved one, he's there. And when crisis comes, he's there. And when the phone rings and it's bad news, he's there. I just love him. I'm not kidding. I just love him. Now, I'll leave you with this one story. If you get David Jeremiah's devotional, he leaves this here. He says, in August 25th, 2017, in the Turning Points devotional, on June 28th, 1914, here's a little history lesson for you. June 28th, 1914, Austria's Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sophie were being driven on the streets of Sarajevo. Unknown to them, an assassin was lying in wait. The assassin's plan went awry, but his cohort happened to be loitering elsewhere. Suddenly, the cohort realized the Archduke's limousine was coming down the street and the Archduke's driver having taken a wrong turn in the crowded city. Two shots later, and the Archduke and the Duchess were dead. 4 years later, more than 16 million people were dead from the world war ignited by the assassin, all because of a wrong turn. And obviously, the story goes on. But I want to leave you with this. Number one, Christ is the greatest thing you could possibly find. Number two, if you don't choose him, the consequences of the wrong choice in your life, of not choosing Christ, will send you to a Christless eternity. But to me, worse than that, there will be those that will follow you to that same place. Don't choose wrong. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. There is no better offer. Where else can we go to get the words of eternal life? And it's only from Jesus. Lord, time goes by so quickly. But Lord, I pray that every person in this room at some point in their life has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And they want salvation. And I pray that they want the change in their life that you can bring. For many people, they recognize that their life is not working. And that things aren't going well and they want something different. But for other people, their life's not that bad. Their bills are paid. Things are going along pretty good. They got a good job. But they are in as great a danger without you. And I pray that they'd be willing to admit that they are a sinner. That they'd be willing to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That they would pray and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know everyone here, but I do know that everyone needs Christ. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior before, it's as easy as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died and rose again. And C, confess your sins and call on him.